and welcome to Spooky South Coast. Tim Weisberg here, along with the silent assassin, Matt Costa. Kicking it old school tonight with just the two of us. Stephanie Burke, the birthday girl, is out of town this weekend, so she is unable to join us. Matt Moniz, science advisor, unable to join us. So it's just Matt and I, like it was back in the early days of Spooky South Coast when we first started the program. And wow, January of 2006. I never would have thought we'd still be on the air all these years later. I think we are. We're on the air, right? Seems like it. So for those of you who tune in to the show and watch us on Spooky TV at SpookySouthCoast.com, which we recommend that you do, because in addition to being a radio show, we're also a multimedia web show, a TV show, if you will. If you have a smart TV or an Xfinity cable box, or I think even the Verizon boxes do it now, or a streaming device like a Roku or one of those things, anything that you can get YouTube on and put it up on your television, you can watch Spooky South Coast instead of just listening to us each week. So we make sure that we kind of take over your life Saturday nights from 10 to midnight as we talk about the paranormal. And believe me, when we started doing this show, we never would have thought that we would have that ability. But we do. We take advantage of it. But so for those of you who are watching and in the chat room, you may notice that things are a little bit different tonight. It'll look a little different. And some of the usual features that we have in the chat room, like the orbs feature where you can, you know, earn yourself orbs that we will eventually have something cool for you to trade them in for. Once we believe in orbs. Right now we don't believe in them. So tonight we don't have that option because we had to use a different computer than we normally use. So I think we overloaded the system with so many people that wanted to come in and tune into the show tonight. And maybe it had something to do with the fact that on the last show, Amy Bruni completely crashed everything. Did you know that, Matt? That when Amy was on the show last episode, she tweeted out that she was going to be on the show and our website crashed. Like, didn't we?
I did. I was working to fix it as it was happening.
I think it's cool that it happened, though.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Like, I know,
I mean,
like,
it shouldn't happen, but
it's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying, but it's kind of cool that, like, we had so many people tuning in all at once that it crashed. But that's okay, because if you ever have that issue where you can't get to the show from our website and you know that we're live, just go to YouTube, type in Spooky South Coast, go to our channel. Right. Even better yet, if you subscribe to Spooky South Coast on YouTube, just hit that little subscribe button. That will give you the option to select a notification every time that we do go live.
Also in the bell icon. It's not just subscribe.
It's the,
you have to hit subscribe, then the bell, and then with the bell you get the notification.
Oh, okay.
So if you see that bell with a little two squiggly lines over it, that means you'll get the notifications for it.
Okay. So yeah. But if you hit subscribe, the
YouTube
bell doesn't come up automatically?
No, YouTube changed it a little while ago. But
yeah, YouTube's changed a lot of stuff. I find it to be kind of a pain in the butt. You can't, like, trying to get the WBSM live videos to show up on the front of the WBSM page was a pain.
Oh, really?
Once they switched to the new, the new YouTube backend. So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so the point is, you want to subscribe and sign up for the bell, which is appropriate tonight because we'll be talking about Art Bell. But if you subscribe to the show and you click the bell and you get the alerts, you'll know when we're going live. So if it's Saturday night and you're not sure if the show is going to be on, because maybe we're out of the studio and we're doing an event or something like that, well, you won't have to worry about knowing or not knowing either way, because you'll get that little icon. But we usually let you know ahead of time, whether it be on Twitter or whether we post something up. And Matt does a great job of putting up classic episodes, even on the weeks where we can't be here. Speaking of which, we will not be here for the next two weekends due to events. I wanted to try to hook up a live broadcast from the X-Filers conference at the end of the month, because, you know, we have the really cool setup here now to do live remotes. But I'm just afraid that, like, at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night after a long day of UFO conferencing, you know, nobody's going to be ready to sit down and talk about things. They're going to want to go out and eat, go out and drink, party, all that stuff. So, and I think Moniz and I probably want to do that too. And from what I understand, nothing's been announced yet, but Stephanie's going to be involved in that event, and we'll have something going on Saturday night. So if it does go according to plan, and she does do the part that she was going to do, I think it's going to drain a lot out of her, and she wouldn't necessarily be able to even come on the air at 10 o'clock. So at that point, you know, we'll just take the week off rather than have her completely drained and me half in the bag on the radio, which would probably be how it would go. But it sounds fun, but it might not be for the most professional broadcast. We'll save that for backyard only podcasting, which we got to do this year.
I was going to say, it was funny that the last classic episode that I put up was the haunted baseball one.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually, when I put those up, I just cut out the main interview part. But I should have left the other part in, because it was, I think it was after Jeff's barbecue that you and Moniz came in.
Right.
And it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. Pretty amusing. Should find that on the podcast feed.
There's been some episodes. There have been times that we've gone to parties before we've came here and done the show.
There's nothing too risque, but you could.
You and I did Bob's wedding, and then came here and did the show afterwards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We were pretty.
I think there was maybe a beer fest here or there.
Yeah, we have a few, but the beer fest shows are different, because the beer fest shows, we just come in with no energy. Right. Because we stopped drinking at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, we're completely sober, but we're just wiped out.
We're just exhausted.
All just thoroughly destroyed on Popeyes and Jersey subs and Jersey Mike's.
if you go back and listen to Dustin Parry's first appearance with us on Spooky South Coast, that episode actually came about because we were at the beer festival in Providence, and we ran into Dustin there. And like, you know, just kind of like, hey, how are you? Hey, what are you doing tonight? You should come on the show. Oh, yeah, I'd love to come on the show. Not thinking that we were on the paranormal, and it was just a great show, but it just might have been a little bit low on the energy side. But we will certainly make sure that we have plenty of stuff coming your way. We'll make up for the fact that we're taking a couple of weeks off here. I think this is the year we got to do it. We got to have a backyard podcast episode. For those of you who have never heard those before, we've done a couple. We did one with Moniz and Matt and myself in the first year of the show, and then we did another one for Jeff Belanger's 40th birthday party a few years ago. So I think it's about that time again. And those get wild. And this year when we do it, we got to do streaming video, right? Because we have that ability.
Yeah, might as well.
Maybe we'll do it as like a fundraiser. Can we still do pay-per-views on YouTube? Is that still a thing?
I think it's an option, yeah.
So if we can do that, then people pay to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way they're kind of opting in for whatever we do.
Right.
So should we decide to, you know, streak or what have you, right, like you chose to watch that show. Like we didn't force it into you. Yeah, you paid for it. So we'll figure all that stuff out. But what's interesting about the things that we do here, and we've always been a show that kind of pushes things to the limit, technologically speaking. We always come up with these ideas. You know, usually Matt will come to me and say, you know, we can try this. I've been looking at this. Let's do this. Sometimes it will be, I will have a crazy idea, and I will say to Matt, is there a way that we can make this happen? And he always says yes, but usually I'm thinking in my head as he's saying yes that there probably isn't a way, but he'll figure it out. And 9 times out of 10, it ends up happening. And I know I've said this before, and I've talked about it on the show before, but if you go back to the early days of this program, you know, first of all, we didn't even know what podcasting really was when we first started doing this in 2006. But we said, hey, podcasts seem to be a thing. We should probably do that. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. There was a box that used to be here in the studio. And back in those days, we didn't have a skimmer hooked up to the board here to pick up what we're saying automatically. We didn't have any kind of real recordings of things unless people manually started recording their own shows. And I think they used to do it on reel to reel. I don't even know how they were doing. Were they doing? They weren't doing any DVD recording, CD recordings when we came in here.
When we first came?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember that black box.
Just that black box that was in the studio that was connected to the board, right? Was it connected to like this headphone box or something?
They might have had some sort of skimmer back then.
If they did, they didn't tell us how to use it.
Right.
That's for sure. But they had this black box, and so we came in here, and people don't realize, like, we were going to launch the show in September of 2005, but we needed, like, more training and more time to get ready. And so that's why we ended up not coming on until January of 2006. But for those couple of months leading up to it, we were coming in here, and Matt was learning how to run the board. And I was, we were supposed to be doing practice shows, but we didn't really do any practice shows. But Matt was coming in here, and that box was always here. And I was doing a sports show here every week, and the box was always here. And it was never an issue until the very first show we came in, assuming the box would be here, and it was gone. So in just a moment of desperation, I had a digital recorder that I used for my work as a sports writer, and I recorded the show on that. And it did not come out very well because I didn't turn the microphone down like I was supposed to. I left it way too hot, and it kind of blew out the whole first episode with Keith Johnson. It's still out there. You can still listen to it, but it's painful to listen to, not only for my hosting skills, but also for the clipping of the audio. But we took that recording and said, well, we're going to start uploading these to the internet because maybe people will find the show and maybe they'll be interested. And the very first week, we got 100 downloads of the first episode. We said, wow, 100 people wanted to listen to this show. And it was stuff from around the world, too. Like, somebody was listening in Japan. We were getting downloads in the UK. So we said, well, maybe there's something with this podcasting thing. Maybe it'll be worth that $9.99 a month we're spending with our podcast server. And all these years later, now look at podcasts. There's people who just listen exclusively to podcasts. Some people don't even realize that we're an actual radio show that broadcasts on terrestrial radio because they listen to us as a podcast later on. So we were pretty early in the game of paranormal podcasts, I think. And then we started streaming the show before there was even a stream here at the station. And we did that through a variety of ways. But we heard other shows that were streaming. I mean, Art Bell Coast to Coast AM was one of the first shows that I ever heard on an actual internet radio stream. Now, I don't know if it was something that they were doing or if it was coming from one of the affiliates, but I remember that that was one of the first ways that I heard streaming audio with quite a bit of buffering involved in it too, if I remember right. But so we decided to try. Thanks, Bart. It's a live show, Bart, even though you've heard the story multiple times. But so we've always tried to stay ahead of the curve with that stuff. And so that's what led to having the video aspect, too. I can only imagine what would have happened, though, if Art Bell had put a video stream like this in his show. He had the webcams, and he had, you know, you could see the, originally it was just photos from in the studio. Then it would take a photo every, I forget how long the intervals were, but there was an interval that it would take a photo and upload a fresh photo after every amount of time. But imagine if it was a full-fledged production like this. That, like, imagine if he had a Matt Costa, if he had a silent assassin that was able to bring in video and bring in all this other stuff and connect with guests via Skype and all that kind of stuff. And I think it would have taken things to a completely other level, but at the same time, it also would have hurt some of the magic of what it is that he did. And there's been times where we've done shows where maybe the computer doesn't work, maybe the internet is acting funky, or maybe there's been some shows where I've had to come in by myself and you weren't able to come in and run the video, where it's just me and a microphone and paranormal topics. And that's the true spirit of what Art Bell started. So as much as we tried to make this show be in some ways influenced by what he did, I think some of the technology that we brought into it is taken away from it. I think that if we saw what was going on with the show, if we saw the way that he kept that thing running, we might have been amazed. I mean, me being a tech geek and a little bit of a radio nerd, you know, I would have liked to have watched that just for my own edification. I love looking at photos of his studio and looking and seeing, like, what equipment that he had and seeing, like, oh, that's how they did that. Oh, and that's how they did that. But at the same time, I like the fact that we didn't see how the sausage was made. We just got to enjoy the sausage. Do with that what you will, Bart. But the other part of that, though, too, is that it's not just about the way that the show is being presented, but it's what's being presented. It's the way that the conversation is going. And that is the one thing that we take criticism for sometimes, where people will tell us that they feel like we don't question guests enough, that they feel like we just let guests ramble on sometimes, that we don't call into question some of the things that guests are saying. But I want to say that right now, a lot of that part of my interview style, I take directly from Art Bell, because he never felt like it was his job to decide what was real and what wasn't, or what was believable and what wasn't, because he probably had a higher BS meter than most people because of all the different stories that he was hearing. And he also knew that if he turned that BS meter on, it might get in the way of the listener's ability to decipher that, and even the listener's ability to just enjoy good entertainment. See, these radio shows are not made and not created to answer the big paranormal questions. They're only made to keep asking the questions so that people can make their own determinations and their own decisions about what they're willing to believe. And so that's why I always try to let guests come on and have their say, and we'll put on crazy people. We'll put on people that come at us with the most ridiculous stories. But that's all right, because just because they sound ridiculous, they sound crazy, doesn't mean that they aren't true. And maybe sometimes they come on and they share a story and it's not true. But as long as it's entertaining and we're asking those questions, then I think that we've done our job. I was going through our list of topics that we've covered earlier this week because, you know, we're trying to freshen things up a little bit and try to find some different things that we haven't discovered. And even if we're going to discuss things that we have in the past, maybe finding new angles for them. I know that Moniz has a number of guests that he wants us to bring on from the UFO and the Bigfoot fields. But I also want to make sure that if we're doing that, that we're bringing people on that have different approaches and different ideas. And that it's not just, okay, this guy is a Bigfoot hunter. And now this guy is a Bigfoot hunter too. And then this guy is also a Bigfoot hunter. Because then that's no different than, you know, when we had to make the edict about how we're not just going to have every run-of-the-mill paranormal group on the show. Because the stories are just the same. So in looking back over some of our previous shows, I realized something in a lot of what we do. Sometimes it seems like we're not getting weird enough. It seems like we play things too safe and stick to the almost the surface area of some of these topics. So I think we're going to have to go and get a little bit weirder. That's why I love filling in on Midnight in the Desert, because it can go in a completely different direction than what you're expecting. And that's okay, because you've got so much time to be able to explore things that you can get all of the surface information out that you need to. And then you can really peel back some of those layers and go into the deeper questions because you've got that long form format. And we were worried when we started this show that we wouldn't be able to fill 2 hours. And some nights we can't fill 2 hours. Some nights it feels like we're stretching to fill 2 hours. But then there's some shows where you say, wow, we could have gone for 4 or 5 hours with that and still not run out of things to talk about. So I can understand how Art was able to get on and do 4 hours a night. But I don't know if it's, you know, warranted for every topic. That's why sometimes you would have a guest for a couple of hours and then maybe one for the last hour, or split it in half, or what have you. But looking over some of the things that we've done some really in-depth shows about certain topics, but I also feel like there's some that we could dive even deeper into. So if there's anything ever that you want us to talk about or that you want us to look into, spookycrew@spookysouthcoast.com is the way to do it, because first of all, we always say this, and it's not just BS. We do this show for the audience, and that's who we have in mind when we book the guests and we ask the questions. It's all about what the audience wants to hear and what the audience wants to know. And that's something that I took away from Art. Because he always tried to have things that maybe he might not necessarily believe in or be passionate about, or things that he even wanted to discuss. But he would say, is this something that my audience wants to hear about or needs to hear about? And so that's the same approach that we've always used. And it may not work for every guest. It may not, you know, sometimes you might book somebody that's a dud. Sometimes you may book somebody that you thought you were going to be talking about one thing and it goes in a completely different direction. But that's just the nature of what it is that we're doing. You know, if you're doing political talk radio and you book somebody from that realm, if you book a guest from that subject matter, you pretty much know what to expect. And in this genre, you can kind of get a feel for people by listening to some of their appearances on other shows. But I try not to do that. I try not to listen to other shows because I don't want it to influence the way that the discussion will go. I have a tendency, my own personal tendency, is that if I've heard somebody on the radio or on a different program, I absorb some of what I hear, and then I tend to not ask those questions when they're on this show, because in my mind, I can skip over that and get into deeper things, but then I forget to really set the table for the listener. So that's why I've kind of gone away from listening to some of these other appearances. So if you don't know what somebody has done on other shows, like, it's a crapshoot. And you never know where things are going to go. And have we gotten burned over the years? Yeah, we've definitely gotten burned over the years. We've brought some people on that were... We've brought on a few people that were totally shams, some exposed, some only assumed. We've brought on people that, you know, said that they had one area to discuss, but then came on with definitely a specific agenda. I'm looking at you, Jesus. That's right. I'm calling out Jesus Christ. It wasn't the real Jesus Christ. But you can fall into that trap, and it's going to happen to everybody. When you've done, 572, three, something like that. You know, when you've done that many shows, you can fall for it. So how does it feel if you're Art Bell and you do, you know, 300 shows a night, 300 shows a year for, you know, 20 years on this topic? You're going to feel like the odds are still in your favor, but you're going to feel like a few of them kind of snuck by you. 508-996-0500-877-996-1420 if you want to call in and share. And so tonight I just want to mention, I mean, I know that I've kind of rambled a little bit here at the beginning, but today is the 1 year anniversary of the passing of Art Bell. And I think in that year, more so than ever, people have realized what he left behind. Now, he had been gone from the airwaves for a couple of years prior to that, so it wasn't like he was doing a show nightly until his passing. But there was still always the fact that he was there. And I think for a lot of people, there was always the possibility that he may return, even in a limited capacity. But in this year since, you know, we've had to kind of adjust to a world without Art. And in some ways, it's been a blossoming to some degree of people like realizing that he's not there anymore and kind of trying to pick up the mantle. And we've seen some new hosts pop up and some new shows that have popped up that have said, okay, we're going to pick up that mantle and try and carry a little bit of that spirit forward. But I think we've also seen a lot of the established shows and hosts say, well, maybe we need to kind of get back to some of what he was doing. And that's something that we tried to do here, is we tried to take a little bit of that spirit and inject it back into the show, because it can get mundane to talk about these topics on a weekly basis for, you know, 12 years. Sometimes you just say, okay, we're going to do another show on this, I guess. Okay. But if you go back and you listen, especially like on the Paranormal Radio app or some of these other apps or websites that are running classic Art Bell shows, you go back and you listen to those, you say to yourself, even when he was talking about remote viewing for the 57th time, it still sounded like he was just as interested as he was the first time. And so that's some of the wonder that we try to bring back to things. But again, 508-996-0500, 0500. Good evening. You're on Spooky South Coast. How are you?
Thank you, Tim. Pleasure to hear you guys. I'm glad I got to be the first to join in. I've been listening to you guys since the weekend before Halloween 2008.
Wow. So you've been around pretty much since the beginning.
I like your review, your format, you know, just kind of perspectives and all that. And you've seen the up and downs. There are times, like I say, you've had people attempt to push things that weren't making sense. And one of the good things I've noticed about you guys is most times you want to stay out of controversy. If you have a belief, you defend it, but you stay out of controversy. And shows like this, I think that's important.
Well, we like to be in the controversy. We like to address it, but we also like to take it from a rational perspective so that it doesn't do any good to just get wrapped up in things and just say, okay, well, we've got 2 hours now. We can get our say in. You know, we look at it as we've got these 2 hours. Let's try and use that as a way to maybe bridge some gaps or to find some common ground in some of the controversies.
Did you guys ever end up there at Market Basket in Cambridge? Because that week before Phil went to Florida, and that was in the news?
No, we never got to go up there. I have a couple of paranormal friends that tried to go up, and one of them actually went to the store and talked to some employees there and tried to find out if they could go in for an after-hours investigation. And they were turned away, but they said they'd actually had numerous people that had been reaching out to them that wanted to come in for something overnight. And so they said that they might actually try and do something somewhere down the line. But for right now, like, store management is trying to, you know, they'll talk about it, but they're trying to, like, make it seem like it's not such a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, because I got a couple of friends of mine, they live in which is dark, and inside the lighting, the overhead. And what the lady said was she was seeing something, couldn't quite identify from what other people were putting out there. But there was definitely something, like, from a difference from one aisle to another. And then the next one, and then she tried to look back over to the left, and it was gone. And she was like, so her next thought was, what behind me? Was there a fan? Or was there something creating like a moving shadow? She could never nail that down. But
and speaking, by the way, just speaking of the haunted Market Basket, and for anybody that missed that story, Matt put it up on the Twitter feed, and we had it up on the Spooky South Coast Facebook page too. But there's a supermarket chain in New England called Market Basket, and there's one of the stores is rumored to be haunted. Now, there's another supermarket chain called Stop and Shop where all the employees have gone on strike. And so Market Basket, which most Market Baskets are already kind of a zoo when it comes to the amount of people in them. But I was thinking to myself, how many people in that area saw that story and said, well, I'm never going to that Market Basket again if it's haunted. And now they have to because the Stop and Shop is closed.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday, I was in Fall River, actually, and I had to go into the bank for business at Stop and Shop Citizens. And when I came out, the police were there on each side. And in general, there was nothing crazy like what happened at Stop and Shop here the other day. But one of the customers that was right behind me in bank says, when I get out of here, I'm going right across the street to Market Basket. Because in Fall River, it's right across from each other.
Well, and I can tell you that I've known people that have worked at the Wareham Stop and Shop over the years, even some people that worked the overnight shifts there. And I've heard some stories about that store having some activity, too. So, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, a supermarket would be a place that, you know, could probably draw a lot of energy because there's people always moving in and out of there. So you could have just energetic imprints that are left behind. But at the same time, you could also have, you know, especially considering some of the land some of them might have been built on, you know, you might have some residual activity that's happening there. But I know that if I was a ghost, you know, I'd try to go wherever I could go and eat for free. So
in the deli aisle?
Might as well. Like, where'd all those free samples go? They just disappeared. Oh, must be the ghost again.
Must have been good. Always a pleasure, Tim.
Likewise. Take care. 508-996-0500, 877-996-1420. Matt, I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but I know, you know, you and I worked together for a number of years.
Yep.
In the morning, we worked in a restaurant together, and quite often we would listen to Coast replays.
Right.
Because we would start, our day would start at like 5 a.m., and when I remember getting XM radio, and the XM channel that ran Coast to Coast would rerun it again starting at 5. so I'd always have it on in the morning. But had you ever listened to Art Bell or Coast to Coast at all before we started listening to it in the morning?
No, I think that was my first experience. I think I heard of it, but I never actually sat down and listened to the show prior.
I remember like happening upon, so when I first heard Art Bell, it was when I was in high school. So we're talking, you know, 94, 95, 96. I get my license and there were five kids in my family. My house was always crazy with all kinds of stuff going on. And especially as we got older and like friends would be over and boyfriends and girlfriends would be over and all the, you know, like things just got nuts. So I would go out at night and just kind of drive around until I was tired and would go home. And I shared a room with my brother too for a number of years too. So, you know, if he's awake and doing homework or whatever, and I'm not doing anything, like, you know, you don't want to disturb him. And so I would just spend my nights driving around the back roads of Wareham. And I remember I had, you know, my cassettes that I would listen to. Matt remembers my cassettes very well. I had a big cardboard box of cassettes that I would keep in my car. But I would just drive around listening to music. And I remember that I had, I want to say it was my 84 Cavalier, my blue 84 Cavalier, that didn't have a cassette player. So I couldn't drive around listening to my cassettes anymore. And so I said, well, I guess I have to listen to the radio. And I had a couple of rock stations that I would tune into and listen to. But even in the 90s, when you had some diverse music, you would hear a lot of the same stuff on the radio over and over again. So you spend a lot of time in the car. You say, I got to find something else to listen to. And I would put on the AM band because you would find just a variety of different stuff. And I liked the fact that you could pick up shows from Chicago and New York and maybe Canada. And you didn't know what you were going to happen upon. And when I was a kid, my dad listened to a lot of talk radio. And I thought that it was the most boring thing in the world when I would be in the car and I'd hear him listening to talk radio. But I knew that it was something that would at least entertain me as I was driving around, because you get wrapped up in the conversation and it doesn't become background noise then. You know, it becomes something that you're focused on. And I think that's when I first started to hear Art Bell was over those AM waves, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know that it was something that was on Monday through Friday talking about these same topics. And well, actually eventually 7 days a week, but talking about the same topics. I thought it was just like, oh, I just happened to tune in on the right night when they were talking about UFOs. And so now and then you would, you know, tune in and hear a different thing. And it wasn't until maybe the late 90s when I realized that, no, this was what this show was about. And then I could listen to it every night. But then the problem is, you know, you're a college kid. You've got a girlfriend. You're not going to drive around in the car with your girlfriend listening to Art Bell. In fact, I kept it from my future wife that I was even into this stuff for quite a while because I didn't want to seem weird. And then it only really came out when she went over my aunt's house with me for the first time. And anybody that's ever spent time with me and my aunt at the same time, the conversation inevitably turns to all the experiences that they had in their haunted house. So that's when I kind of had to say to her on the ride home, you know, listen, I'm sorry that we spent 3 hours talking about this stuff, but, you know, this is something that I believe in and something that I've always been interested in. And, you know, she accepted it, but didn't really necessarily believe in it. But I couldn't just turn on Coast to Coast and listen to Art Bell. You know, it was just something that I wasn't comfortable with quite yet. I'd leave her house at, you know, 2 a.m. after we'd gone on a date or whatever, and I'd turn it on my way home, but it wasn't something that we were listening to on a regular basis. But those mornings working in the diner, knowing that I could listen to it kind of uninterrupted and just completely dive into the 4 hours of it, made a huge, huge difference. And then it was really cool when I got that XM radio that would actually record the show, so that then I wouldn't have to be dependent on that rebroadcast that always would lose the last hour because they didn't do the full replay. 508-996-0500. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast.
I've been listening to you guys for a couple of months now on my Heat Crane internet radio. You know, it's a national radio.
Sure.
I'm over here in Bridgeport, Ohio. And once in a while, you guys will go into commercials where you're still talking, and it, you know, it'll last for a long time, and then you'll come back on talking. It's not like a normal commercial break, so I don't know what's going on with that.
So you're listening to the WBSM...
yes, I am, right now.
So yeah. You're listening to the audio stream from our WBSM site, right, through the C-Crane internet option?
Yeah, I guess that's how it's set up.
Okay, so what happens is on that app... sometimes it will take breaks that we don't control here. While, of course, we love people to listen to us on the WBSM stream, a good way to kind of get around that is if you watch us on YouTube, that's one way to kind of get around that. Or if you can, what's another good way? Probably the Paranormal Radio app, I think, would avoid some of that too.
Yeah, I have. Are you guys part of iHeart? Because there's a lot of paranormal stuff. I actually leave on the TV at night, you know, pop up the paranormal stations, all kinds of cool stuff.
So we're not, because we're owned by a different company, so we have our own branded app. We have our own WBSM app, which is where that stream comes from. But if you download the Paranormal Radio app from mm-hmm. TalkStream Live, that has it's an entire app of nothing but paranormal shows. So it will always let you know when the shows are live, and then you can listen to the podcast versions when they're not live. And if you like Art Bell, they have multiple channels that just run classic Art Bell all day long.
I have two on my internet radio outside. I'm on the porch right now. Art Bell All Day and Art Bell Classic.
So good.
And it's really good stuff. I still George Norrie, he comes in, on the big 1170 radio station, but, you know, all the time. That's pretty good. He had some good guests on this past week.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know that the show that Art started is still going strong, you know, and now that we have so many other shows that have popped up in the wake that we're able to, you know, listen to, and that's the thing about it is, for people that were interested in these topics, you had 4 hours a night, 5 hours a night tops to listen to the show, and then... you had nothing else the rest of the time. Now you can listen to all day. There's enough programming to fill your entire day.
Yeah, what got me listening to your particular station, you know, like I said, these C-Crane radios, instead of having it on the tablet or, you know, whatever, they're so you know, loud. They're like a record, cool, you know, old radio. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Howie Carr and all those kind of guys, and then one night I come home and I turned it on. I heard this Spooky Saturday stuff, and you know, whenever you guys are on, I give it a listen. We had a local station here. They went away. Got moved to, I think, South Carolina or somewhere. But there's so many other of you guys out here. Now, I had a spooky situation. I'm always hoping to see a UFO or something. And I do believe in paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I live in this house at the end of the woods, okay? It's a really nice little house. My daughters grew up, so I'm single now. Well, I couldn't figure out why nobody would buy this house. Well, there's an old house on each side of my house. I've lived here 13 years now. It's right at the end of a road next to the woods. It's very hilly where I live. And what I found out, in the one house, the old lady committed suicide.
Mm.
And in the other house, there was an old lady, and she was in another house. And in the house I live in was another old lady, and they had to drag her away kicking and screaming when she was in her 80s. So the house stood vacant for a year, so I bought it. I kid you not, for a while there, it doesn't happen anymore. Like 3 or 4 in the morning, I could hear whispering and talking. Now, I wasn't imagining stuff. I really don't think it was.
But it went away?
Now, I don't know if it was somebody was trying to, I really believe in, you know, other entities. I don't know whether the old lady that lived in this house was trying to scare me out. But it didn't. I actually spoke, you know, like I was speaking to somebody. Hey, I'm living here, you know, I'm not going anywhere, you know, you can't hurt me anyways. And it stopped. But I'm a normal guy. I believe in everything, but I wasn't imagining stuff.
No,
I heard whispering. It would go on for several weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised.
3 or 4 in the morning.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was just wondering, you know, who you were and what you were doing there. And then once she realized you were there to stay, she just became accustomed to you being there, and it wasn't a big deal to her anymore.
Evidently, yeah, she feels okay that I'm here, and I'm not tearing the place apart, or like you said, whatever. So, you know, I'm always looking for a cool story like that and stuff. Right in this particular area, we have a spooky old penitentiary. There's a lot of tours that go on in there all the time, and a couple of spooky tunnels where guys were shot and hung, and very many spooky cemeteries, you know, from the Revolutionary Day. So it's a pretty cool place here, too. So a lot of paranormal stuff's always going on. So I'm always looking around and listening to see whatever you guys have to offer. So,
well, we hope to get out that way someday ourselves.
Yeah. Hey, it's good talking to you guys.
Likewise. Have a great night, and thank you for calling in.
You too. Yeah.
And 508-996-0500. We have another caller on hold. The chat room is already telling me that I shouldn't go to this line, but we're going to go to it anyway. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast.
What's shaking, Timmy? What's going on, Playboy?
What's going on?
Just living and loving. I'm out here in Coachella right long now.
You're in Coachella? At Coachella? Yeah. You getting your party on?
No comment. I'm a brother. I'm not trying to get caught walking or doing anything dirty for civil. Okay, where shall I begin, Playboy?
For those who don't know, this is, let's just set this up. For those who don't know, this is the legendary Lamone.
Quit shaking, everybody. Picking it up, giving it up, and playing it down. Okay, but what I would like to say, I don't know where to begin. The first time I met Art Bell, I was working at the only black station in the state of Nevada, 88.1. I started working there when I was in the 11th grade. Neither here nor there. Yeah. I'm going to say like 89 at KMJJ, it was a radio station here. And that's where I started talking to them. And I learned a lot of things, but I experienced a lot of horrible things too. Let me just say something fun about him. Okay. I remember Ramona. Ramona's a nice lady. That's where my connection with them was. Is because I'd give them tickets to go see, like on New Year's Eve, the very last time he did New Year's Eve before he started doing the New Year's, you know, the
prediction
predictions
show
for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I took him. He came to go see Pointer Sisters, him on New Year's Eve. I like that was kind of fun. But I have so much. I don't know where to begin. There's so much I want to tell you. Hey, what's going on? All right, I'm on the phone. All right. Sorry about that. My bad.
That's okay. All right.
Now, what were you saying to me?
Well, I was just going to say, we only have a few moments here before we have to take a break for the news. So just give us, like, some of your best.
There's too much. I could see about when I met Malachi Martin.
Wow.
And so, he met my kids and stuff like that. And he gave me information. So I found out the hard way. This was like in 95. I found out the hard way who the actual Antichrist is. And so that evening, I was inside my kitchen and heard somebody talking and opened up the blind, looked out there, and it was a guy that I know to be the Antichrist. He was like, "Hey, open up the door and let me in. Open up the door, and let me in."
So
better yet. And so, like I said, and I closed the blinds back and I went back and started praying. And so the next day, I called him and I said, "Oh, I found out who the Antichrist is." And he says, "Are you glad you did?" I said, "I guess." And literally, he came to me maybe 2 weeks later and told me, like, he said that I'll take away everything you love. I'll have you crawling on your knees, coming to join me. And then my mother and father were married for 44 years. My mother died. And then the next year, 2 days after Father's Day, my father died. And then I was engaged to a girl. We were 3 weeks away from getting married. And 3 months after my dad died, she was on the way to the Philippines to get her grandmother. Bring it back to the wedding, and her airplane crashed on the way there.
Oh, no.
And so, and that was like, you know, that was the last time I was in love. I've had plenty of girlfriends since then. I've even had another child, but I've yet to be in love. And so, and that's something right there. It's really hard. My oldest child, thank heaven that my sister was able to take care of her while I was working for the Red Cross and things like that. I tell you, that was horrible. It was like, and that was a bad thing. And after the break, I'll tell you about my run-in with Pat.
Well, after the break, we have to go to the Week in Weird, so we're gonna have some time that has to be taken up at the beginning. But if you wanna try to give us a call back a little bit later on, maybe we can get into some more of this stuff.
I'll call you. I'd rather tell you about this in person because it's like really, it's really deep, and I could these days.
Listen, I hear rumors that there might be a gathering in the desert sometime soon. So
there is, and they're not just juggalos.
No, this is going to be a midnight in the desert gathering. So if that ends up happening, I think we're going to get the chance to meet face to face.
Hopefully, why wait so long?
Well, hey, we just had a new airline open up here at the Providence Airport. You know, $89 round trip tickets out to Las Vegas, so you never know when I'm going to pop up.
You need to come. Come out here and we see Godzilla on the 30th of May. I take you to see Godzilla, King of the Monsters. That's going to be off the chain.
Well, I know they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I got a feeling I'm going to have to stay in Vegas because you're going to get me locked up.
Hey, like they say, come on vacation, leave on probation.
There we go.
Thanks,
Lamone. Legendary Lamone. And if you've never heard him, he's a frequent caller into Midnight in the Desert. And he's always in the chat room on Spooky South Coast as well. So we'll take a break for the news. We'll come back with more Spooky South Coast.
New Bedford's News Talk.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment. The Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Spooky South Coast. Tim Weisberg here along with the silent assassin, Matt Costa, and intern Kylie is here as well, too. We don't want to forget her. Of course, the birthday girl, psychic medium Stephanie Burke, is out of town, so she's not with us tonight. But, you know, reach out to her on social media, at Work at Burke. Reach out to her and say, happy birthday. I told her happy birthday a little bit late in the day, but because she's like far away and it's still only midday where she is, I feel like it's still early enough that it counts. And then, of course, Matt Moniz, science advisor Matt Moniz, also out tonight as well. And as I mentioned, we are working with a different computer, so it might be a little bit difficult for us to bring up the live video of the Week in Weird while it's playing on, but Matt said he'll fix that in post. And he'll get the video into the final product. But, of course, we always release the Week in Weird video for you to watch on its own as well. But at the very least, we'll play the audio for it, and we'll see what happens when we do that, too. But hopefully, by the next show, everything will be back to normal. We just broke the other computer, so we need to get that fixed. And then once we have that, we'll be back to the regular way of doing things. But maybe you want to hang out with me, and you're in the local New England area. Well, next Saturday night, we won't be doing a show, but I'll be holding an event in Winchendon, Massachusetts. It's our weird Winchendon event. It's going to be at the Murdoch Whitney House and the Isaac Morse House. So these are two, like, mansions directly across the street from each other that are both haunted. And we get both houses for the entire night to investigate and do what we will. And Don over there at the Winchendon Historical Society is great about letting us try different things and do different experiments and all that kind of stuff. And this is the place where I've had experiences in the basements, especially with shadow people, where we've had doppelganger experiences, where we've had apportation. So to the person that tried to correct me for the graphic for the event, saying I spelled apparition wrong, no, I'm talking about apportation, which is things appearing out of nowhere. Things that will just show up and shouldn't be there, for the peach pits that get thrown at us in the basement. So if you want to join us, we have a special ticket price. Now, this is, I don't know why I did this, because this was just crazy. But you can get both houses for in one night. One ticket gets you into both places, $75, which is normally about half of what we would charge for this event. So if you want to get some tickets, they're available at SpookySouthCoast.com. If you've never done a paranormal investigation before, these are great places to start, because you get to see how the paranormal rubs right up against the history. And if you are a seasoned investigator but you've never been to these places, they should be on your bucket list. I know that they're not you know, hugely well known in the paranormal world because they haven't been featured on television shows yet, but they're two of the most active places that I've been to. And then, of course, if you have been there before, you know how weird it gets in Winchendon. So you probably want to be part of that. So SpookySouthCoast.com if you want to get your tickets to that event. And then next, the weekend after that, the last weekend of the month, is the X-Filers United Conference here in Warwick, Rhode Island. So for any of you that are listening from outside of New England and you want a good reason to come here and visit, there's no better reason. And it's right by the Providence Airport. So Lamone, if you're listening, you can take one of those flights for $89 from Las Vegas to Providence. And the Providence Airport is actually in Warwick, Rhode Island. And this hotel where they're having the X-Files United Conference is right next to the airport. So anybody that wants to fly in and take part, you can do so. But hopefully all of our friends from around New England will be there to see some of the great talent that will be presenting, and including a number of guests that you've heard on Spooky South Coast before. I'm very excited to get the chance to meet Mike Cleland and talk to him more about UFOs and aliens and owls and the connection between them. And, of course, the entire event is headlined by Dean Heglund from The X-Files. You know him as Langley from the Lone Gunman. He'll be there. Also, Greg and Dana Newkirk will be there with the Traveling Museum of the Occult and Paranormal. So it's always good to hang out with them. So many people. It is a stacked 3-day conference. And you can find out more about it at x-filersunited.com. That's where you can get all of your tickets. I'll be there all 3 days serving as your MC. And I'm very, very, very excited to have all of these folks come from all over the place and come to us in Rhode Island. I'm sorry that, you know, sorry they have to come to Warwick when the Rocky Point Chowder House is not open, but I promise. We'll see if we can maybe find that recipe for you and get some Manhattan clam chowder for you while you're all in Rhode Island. So we are taking some calls, talking about Art Bell tonight. And before we play The Weekend Weird, we have a caller on the line that wants to call in and share some memories with us and some thoughts with us. So let's go to that call. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast.
Hi, Tim. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. My name's Stephanie, but I'm not Stephanie Burke.
Well, I know because she would have told me that she was calling ahead of time. So,
right. The reason I'm calling has nothing to do with Art Bell, actually. It's about me being a newbie. And I just wanted to call and say, at 54 years old, my friend Colleen Johnson just introduced me to all of this. And who am I to say that anybody's experiences aren't real? I've never had an experience, but man, I am interested in hearing more and more about it.
Well, I'm glad that you could join up with us. And for those listening, I apologize if you're getting some of the phone feedback. This is just because we're using different equipment than we usually are. So we thought we'd nip that problem in the bud, but now it's come back to haunt us a little bit here. But so I'm glad that you could get involved with this, and there's no person better to trust you to go into that journey than Colleen.
Yes, it's wonderful, and I'm very happy to have her out in Seattle with me.
So hopefully she'll get you on some paranormal adventures too.
Yeah, we're looking into it. So I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I just wanted to call in and say that.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for tuning in.
Okay, bye.
Take care. And, yeah, we are getting a little bit of that feedback, but that's, you know, it kind of makes things a little bit more spooky, too. That Art never would have gone for that. Art would have told them that their phones were terrible and that they needed to call back, and maybe they'd have to fax. You remember how he would take faxes during the show? He would encourage people to fax him. Can you imagine what he must have gotten through that fax machine? I mean, he read some of them on the air, but imagine the ones that he didn't. Man, that's, first of all, like, faxes have been around since that time, right? Since like the early 90s, and I still don't know how to send one correctly. Right. Like, I still screw up every time I try to send a fax.
I think I've sent one before.
Like, successfully?
Yeah.
You probably tried to send a dozen.
I thought it was successful. I'd never heard back, so.
So what I've started doing is, because I can never get a fax machine to work right, I just go to those sites where you can like send an email, but it sends it to the fax machine.
Right.
That's how I do it.
Right.
I'm terrible with fax machines. And the worst part about it too is, like, unless, like you said, unless they acknowledge that you got it, like, then you're like, did they get it? Do I have to do it again? How do I do it again? Do I have to go and type the whole number again?
Right.
It still amazes me when I call numbers sometimes and I get the fax machine noise.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Like, what are you doing that somebody's still faxing you?
I remember using the phone at a friend's house when I was a kid, and it was a fax. It was the fax machine phone, and I used it, and apparently it cost more money, and his dad, like, flipped out.
Yeah.
So.
That's Bardell saying in the chat room that he faxed his butt to Art 7 times.
Nice.
And that Art responded on the 4th one. Oh, so
that's good.
So that he wanted to hang out. So I'm just wondering why Bart felt the need to send the other 3.
That's a lot of toner.
Really is. Yeah. And speaking of Bart L, of course, we want to let everybody know that tomorrow night is the big night. I mean, for those of you who have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this, and I know that there's been a number of you who have, ever since the Christmas Wootacular, which, listen, I don't want to say that my expectations were low. I think I didn't know what the Wootacular was going to be. But Bart was promising that he was going to be delivering the Woo, and he was promising that it was going to be something very, very big. And he delivered. The Christmas Wootacular, if you didn't see it, you can still see it. It's still available out there, but it was amazing. I watched that, and I had tears of laughter, but also tears of remembrance for Art and so many of the things that he talked about. And so now tomorrow, Bart is delivering the Woo once again. Bart L. delivers the Woo, 7 p.m. You can watch it on YouTube. If you go to kingdomofnyradio.com, you can find out more. If you follow Bart L. at Bart underscore L-E-L-L on Twitter, you can find out more. You can watch the preview, and you can also click on the YouTube link and get the countdown for when it's starting. So I'm gonna tell people right now exactly how much time we have left. 19 hours. 19 hours until Bart L. delivers the Woo. I can't say that on the air. But the Wootacular will certainly deliver the goods. I can promise you that. And some of it's a little bit inside, but that's what makes it especially funny to some of us. But it's well worth your time, I'm sure. And we'll have a post-Woo wrap-up show to talk about that in the coming weeks. But 508-996-0500 if you want to share some of your thoughts. And we are talking about Art Bell. It was 1 year ago today. I wrote about it for WBSM.com when it happened, and I shared the link earlier today from the story that I wrote last year. But I was in New Hampshire at the Mount Washington Hotel with some of the cast of Ghost Hunters and some of the cast of Haunted Towns, and Stephanie was there, and John Brightman. We were all up there for an event when we got the word about Art and his passing. And so I just kind of wrote what I was feeling at the moment. And you can see that on Spooky South Coast Twitter feed and on my Twitter at Tim Weisberg and Facebook as well. And I just tried to at least express some of what Art Bell meant to me and what he meant to the genre of what we do here. I didn't realize, though, that we were going to see a renaissance to some degree of paranormal talk radio. That, of course, there's still a lot of shows that are out there that I question why they need to exist. You know, some people just don't understand that you do a show because you have something to say, or because you have a desire to learn, and that it shouldn't really just be about talking about yourself, but hey, some people just, that's what they do. But one thing that I will say we have seen a renaissance in, and not just because I work there, is Midnight in the Desert, which of course was the last show that Art started before he had to step away from the microphone permanently. And through Dave Schrader taking over the show last summer, it's been revitalized. It's been brought back to, I think, you know, kind of exactly the type of show that Art Bell would have done, where the topics are mostly paranormal, but not always. Sometimes it just goes into the strange and unusual and things that just aren't being heard on mainstream radio. And I thank Dave for giving me the opportunity to sit in that chair sometimes when he's not available. And we just wrapped up a couple of weeks run of some really, really great shows that I filled in on. And I get excited for that because I sit there in my home office in the dark, just myself, the microphone, and the audience, and the guests. and it feels very Art Bell-like. And as much as I love all the technology that we do with this show, it's just cool to have like a different feel with that show. So if you haven't checked out Midnight in the Desert, if you miss Art Bell, if you miss the type of show that he did, go to midnightinthedesert.com, sign up, get the archives. You'll get all the shows that Art did before he hung it up. But you'll also get all the new shows as well. And you'll get to hear Dave and myself and Shannon and Tim Dennis and all of us. And I will say this, that since Dave asked me to be involved and since I went to Lilydale last summer, there's been some really like kind of weird coincidences, weird things that have happened. And there was one that happened this week. I can't really get into it too much, but it just made me realize that maybe Art's still paying attention to what it is that we're doing. So even though he may be gone from the airwaves, even though he may be gone from this plane of existence, I think he's still around us and with us to some degree. And it's funny because when I went to Lilydale, I got a reading from Gerda Lestock, who is one of the most famous mediums in Lilydale. And I want to thank Ellen Ratner for setting that up. But Gerda told me that there was an older man who was kind of guiding my career. And I thought she was talking about my late uncle, who died when I was very young, but he was also very young. And she was describing this person as being an older man. And I said, well, I mean, my uncle was like in his 20s when he passed away. So I don't really know how like that would be, you know, who would be. But he did. He worked in radio and television. And he was, you know, somebody that I knew did all this stuff, but I couldn't really say that he influenced me because I never got to experience him in that field. I never got to hear him. It wasn't until when my grandfather passed away and we were cleaning up the basement, I happened to find one of the carts of my uncle reading the news. And thankfully, Matt was able to find a way to resurrect that on the cart, one remaining cart machine in this building that works. He was able to resurrect that in digital and put it on digital. So that, you know, my dad got to hear his brother's voice for the first time in 30 years. And I got to hear my uncle read a newscast for the first time. And that was something that, you know, I didn't even know that he had done. I knew that he had done sports reports, but I didn't realize that he was also a news reporter. So she's telling me about this older man that's guiding my career. And it didn't dawn on me until later when Phil Paleologus, who was there with me, told me later as I was going over all of this, he kind of like slapped me upside the head and he goes, she's talking about Art Bell. And I would never want to be so bold as to think that Art Bell would care about me. But if you look at the way things have kind of lined up since then, maybe there was some truth to that. You know, he knew of us. He knew of Spooky South Coast. He selected Spooky South Coast to be one of the, him and Keith, selected it to be one of the first shows in the Dark Matter Digital Network. I had reached out to him via email and Facebook message quite often, and we had good back and forth. And then, of course, you know, the final year or so of his life, Art became very much, very pro-Trump and would frequently post pro-Trump stuff on Facebook, which would lead to me getting into some arguments with him. But like we had very limited interaction in the grand scheme of things. So I don't know why he would take an interest, but I think that he has, and I'm grateful that he has. And I hope that the audience feels like we're living up to whatever it was that he saw in us. 508-996-0500. I know that we're going to play The Weekend Weird, but the phones are lined up. So I want to make sure that we can get to these calls. Good evening. Oh, let me hit the other side. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Tim?
We are spooktacular. What's on your mind?
Well, I have two really great Art Bell stories that I always, these were my favorite ones. And so my first one is Art used to, you know, he would be broadcasting and then he would take a break. And normally he would sort of step out onto his back deck and have a smoke and look at the stars. And he came on and related that he had forgotten that he was having his deck replaced. So he stepped out into thin air and fell, I don't know how many feet.
Oh, no.
You know, as, in typical Art fashion, he came on after the break and told in great detail this horrible experience he had. And people were dying. It was so hilarious. I mean, he just, and throughout the rest of the program, he would sort of report on how, you know, how much pain he was in and how much worse it really was than he thought it was. And how could he have forgotten that he had his own deck replaced? So that was one story, and the other one was when he super glued his lips together.
Yes, that's a classic.
And, oh my God, that was so funny.
But if you look at some of the things that Art went through and still was able to go on the air, I mean, probably nothing greater than the emotional pain he felt when Ramona passed. And to still be able to go on the air, like, you know how bad things had to be at the end for him to have to hang it up because of the pain that he was in and being physically unable to do the show every night.
Yeah, that story, the Ramona story, was absolutely heartbreaking and incredible that he was able to come back on and describe it. And I think he knew that his listeners, I mean, I've been listening to him since day one, and he knew his listeners absolutely needed to know what he was going through. And everybody just, you know, it was a ride. It was the ride with Art. I just want to say one last thing, which is I love what you and Dave and the crew that have come on in Midnight in the Desert are doing. I would echo the stuff that you've been doing since the 1st of January has been amazing. I mean, it's been a great combination of guests. You guys have been doing a wonderful job. I signed up for Midnight in the Desert the day I think Art announced he was doing it. I hung in there through the tough times. I feel like every night is a reward. I love the show. You're doing so wonderful.
Well, thank you.
So thank you. Well, I know it's a lot of hard work. I know you guys have been busting it, and it's really paying off. And I hope the show is being more and more successful as it goes. I just love it.
Well, we appreciate that, and that's what it's for. It's making sure that you know, those who tuned in first for Art still feel like it's you know, something that's it's going to be different. I mean, there's no doubt. Nobody's going to be Art Bell, and nobody's trying to be, but at least at the same spirit and the same you know, the same type of DNA is still running through the show.
I think it's important to move on. I mean, that's what Art would have wanted too. He moved on in his way. What he did was so groundbreaking. That was why he was so popular. And it's important that you all do the same. And I loved your tribute. I hadn't read it before tonight, but I'm glad you reposted it. It was just beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this tonight, Tim.
Well, you have a great night, and long live the spirit of Art Bell.
You bet.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. At 508-996-0500. And that is, you know, one of the things when we started doing this show is we said, you know, we're fans, but we don't want to be doing a copy of the show. You know, we don't want to kick the show off with the chase every night, you know, because we the best way to pay homage to your idols and to those who have shaped who you are is to do your own thing and to find a way to do it in a way that is respectful to what has come before you, but not a direct copy. And I think that anything that comes through as being a direct copy of Art Bell is going to come across as disingenuous, because that was solely his style. There is no way that you can't see it's a little bit different when you look at the way that media has evolved over the years. Television media, radio media. There was a time when homogeny was a good thing, when every announcer sounded the same, when every host sounded the same, when you couldn't tell one newsreel narrator from another. You know, that's kind of what they wanted. They wanted something with that. And as the media became more of an integral part of everybody's everyday life, then it became a need to have differentiation. And as you got to the point, you know, and Art said it before, he got tired of doing the same type of talk that everybody else was doing. He had to find his own way and his own voice and his own whatever got him thrilled enough to sit behind the microphone every night. And so then that makes that just uniquely Art Bell. And you can't go and copy that and claim it as your own. The only way to really pay tribute and pay homage to him is to do it in your own style, but in a way that he would kind of still approve of. You know what I mean? Like, you're still carrying on the same concept, but you're not doing an impression. And I think that's why Art would love what Dave has been doing with that Midnight in the Desert show, is because the DNA is there without it being an exact ripoff. And Coast to Coast went through that. I mean, they went through some growing pains of, we have to try to keep things Art-like with the same bumpers and a lot of the same music and all of that. But eventually, the other hosts there find their own voice and find their own way of doing things. So I think it's natural to want to imitate your idols, but the best way to give your respect to them is to just take their influence, but still have your own way of doing things. 508-996-0500, 877-996-1420. If you want to chime in and share your own memories. Right now, we'll take a break for the Week in Weird. We'll play the Week in Weird. Matt Blystein has another great edition of that for us. And you will be able to catch that video on its own, too, if you want to just take that from YouTube when Matt shares it out there. Matt Costa will put that up there. If you can just take that out, share it around on social media. Let everybody know about the Week in Weird. Even people that don't listen to this show will get a kick out of that segment. So take those videos, put them up on your social media, share them around on your Facebook, on your Twitter, what have you. That's what we do it for. That's what we put it up there in that format for, so that you can spread the word. And I can't wait to see what Matt has planned for us for this week. So let's cut away to the Week in Weird.
And Weird. Hello, and welcome back to The Week in Weird. Our first story is a true mystery at sea. Two fishermen discovered a partially submerged yacht with a broken mast off the coast of the Philippines. When they approached it and climbed aboard to see if anyone was in need of assistance, they found something that will haunt them forever. When they reached the yacht's cabin, they found assorted foodstuffs, clothing, and books strewn about the floor. But then they discovered the mummified remains of the yacht's captain, still seated at his desk near a radio in what appears to have been a final attempt at making a distress call. The 58-year-old German explorer Manfred Bjørat was identified by paperwork found on board the yacht, but it was unclear how long he'd been dead or what killed him. Manfred had been sailing around the world in his 40-foot yacht named Sayo for the past 20 years and was last seen in Mallorca, Spain by a fellow sailor in 2009, but he was maintaining contact with friends online up until 1 year before being found. The mystery of where he'd been recently and where he was going remains unsolved. Clues may lie in haunting photographs found in a damaged photo album on board. The photos show Manfred in happier times with family and friends, including a daughter named Nina and his ex-wife Claudia, who passed away in 2010 after the divorce 2 years earlier. The German embassy in Manila is trying to contact any remaining relatives in Germany, and local police are attempting to trace his most recent voyages to try and locate anyone who may have spoken to or seen him alive prior to being found adrift. Authorities are making every effort to answer the question of just what happened on board the Sayo in Manfred's final days. Our last story is a bit cheesy. Seeking to find out if the sounds and vibrations of music played to cheese while it matures can have an effect on its flavor and texture, researchers at the Bern University of the Arts in Switzerland conducted a culinary art experiment called Sonic Cheese. The researchers placed identical wheels of cheese into separate crates to mature. Each wheel of cheese was exposed to a different genre of music for 24 hours a day over the course of 6 months. Some of the different types of music included classical, rock, techno, hip-hop, and even some yodeling. Once the aging process was complete, the cheese was then judged by a culinary jury to determine what, if any, differences there were. and to see if one cheese tasted better than the others. They discovered the music did in fact affect the cheese, with the most obvious differences being observed in the strength of flavor, smell, and taste. The cheese exposed to classical and rock music had a milder taste and was well-liked, but the hip-hop cheese was the clear favorite. The judges said that it had a stronger aroma and a bolder, fruitier taste than that of the other test samples. The fact that hip-hop cheese stood out from the rest really shouldn't come as a surprise, especially if one takes into account the deep, long-standing connection between hip-hop and cheese. Consider Flava Flav's iconic cheese necklaces, or Tupac Shakur's famous cheese belt. Ultimately, the researchers found out that what they say on the street is true. There ain't no cheese like a hip-hop cheese, because a hip-hop cheese don't stop. And that's it for this week's installment of The Week in Weird. I'm your host, Matt Bleistein, and I'll see you next week.
All right, another great edition of The Week in Weird with Matt Bleistein. And again, you can take those videos, share them around. That's what they're for. We want everybody out there to spread the word about The Week in Weird, because Matt does a fantastic job of producing those. And I think, you know, we're talking about the next great newscasters. You know, I think Matt's got a future in this, especially when it comes to the weird news. 508-996-0500-877-996-1420. If you would like to call in and share some of your Art Bell memories here on the one-year anniversary of his passing, I think we've seen over the course of the last year a new appreciation for Art and for what he was able to do, for what he was able to bring to not only the world of the paranormal, but just to radio in general. It was a free-form style at a time when, you know, corporate radio was really starting to gain a foothold in the 90s. Syndicated talk shows were being put out there on a regular basis. Where, you know, you had guys like Rush Limbaugh taking over the airwaves, but they were very regimented shows, segments, and they would have certain sponsorable segments to be able to offset some of the costs associated with putting these programs on and putting them out there to a wider audience. And Art's show was so organic. It just felt so organic. You were just listening to a guy sitting in the dark talking into a microphone, and there was no real bells and whistles associated with a lot of it, no pun intended. But that's what made it so great, is that it was kind of throwback radio in a way, where if you listen to some of these older shows where it was just, you know, and I've mentioned before Long John Neble, who I think, you know, was an influence of what Art did. And people don't give Long John enough credit for bringing these topics to the airwaves when a lot of people didn't. And then you can even go back further than that. Go to Harry Price, who was a paranormal investigator, but who would conduct live paranormal investigations on the air. He would go to ghost hunts at Borley Rectory and broadcast those over the radio. But then there's also some credit that has to be given to some of the radio dramas of the 1930s and 40s, where a lot of those shows had a suspenseful, some of them paranormal angle to them. And there was a good thread of that in what Art Bell did, because you would have these shows where, you know, sure, it was a talk show format, but the stories that people were sharing and telling were so compelling that they were almost told in a narrative way. And I think for a lot of the audience that tuned in, especially those of us who had never really listened to old time radio, because we were probably too young and we didn't have the access to it like we do now, it was the closest that we could ever get to what our parents and grandparents felt when they would sit around the radio and just be transfixed by what they were hearing. And there's just not enough of that anymore. There's not enough of appointment radio, because we live in an age now where everything can be podcast and everything can be streamed at a later time, that there's very few reasons to be at a place at a certain time. We've tried to do it with, you know, having the live chat room and the video stream to make it so that you have to be here on Saturday nights to interact with us. But at the same time, you know, we understand that the world is changing. And so it's good that we can share these stories of Art Bell and tell people, you know, you go back and listen to them now, it'll still feel to you like it did to us the first time that we heard them live over the air. 508-996-0500. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast.
Good evening, Tim.
How's it going?
Good evening to all of Spooky South Coast.
Good to hear your voice again. How's things been going for you?
Well, things are going good. I just wanted to ask a question before I get into that. I tried to get you on the computer last week, and all I got was commercials.
Well, last week we didn't have a show.
Oh.
So that's probably why you weren't able to get us live anyway, because we didn't have a live broadcast. I was at a wrestling event.
Oh.
So, but if you ever want to get us on the computer and you can't, I always recommend just going to YouTube and going to the Spooky South Coast channel on YouTube. If you don't see a live video there, then there is no live show going on.
Oh, okay. Because like I say, I was in commercials and I wasn't sure if that, because you mentioned about you had crashed the system last week or something.
The week before that, yeah, we definitely did. We had so many people trying to access at once our website.
Oh, maybe
the Spooky South Coast website went down, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was one. Okay, well, I'll give you an update as much as I can. I don't know if I told you, but there was seven arrested at the residence of the guy who was claiming to be a lawyer.
Right.
And they're still going to court. I think they got a couple more days of court, but they're getting some very high sentences because the guy that was he took the identity of a federal lawyer, so he's gonna do some heavy time. And there was one other person that took the name of a judge that contacted me too, and I think he's gonna be doing some very heavy time. And I can give you a guesstimation. I was told that I was going to have a good Easter, so I think it's going to be a few days before Easter.
Okay.
I'll be getting everything.
So, I mean, just to give us an idea, like, how long have you been waiting for? When was the original date when you found out that you had won Publishers Clearinghouse and were going to be getting some money?
The original date, I don't recall, but it was approximately a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
And what happened was I took a private delivery, and the FBI got involved, and they were all the field agents. They were all stealing the money and shifting it from one agent to another until there was one legit agent that went to the Attorney General, and then they had Homeland Security go take care of everything.
Well, I mean, now that organization is in shambles now with...
Oh, yeah, because...
Kirsten Nielsen stepping down, so...
Well... It's not so much stepping. Homeland Security won't be in shambles because one person I did keep in contact with is probably going to be promoted, and you can look him up on the computer. His name is Joshua Polchek. He might be promoted.
Okay.
And I think because right now I'm dealing with a Homeland Security agent, which I won't give his name either, but he said that this Polchek might be contacting me as well when I get the delivery.
So they're saying now that it could be a few days before Easter, which I think is what, the last weekend of the month or next weekend?
It might be next weekend.
I think it is. It's next weekend. Yeah. So we're talking sometime this week.
Possibly a guesstimation for the Dillingham thing. Probably a month to be a guesstimation.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, you got to wait for everything to process and all that kind of stuff. And you don't want to just start throwing money around as soon as you get it either. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no, well, my main thing is I want to get a residence for myself.
Right.
And, but like I say, I want to make sure that it's safe enough so when you guys go in there, I don't want you to break a leg. You know, literally.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely safe. I mean, it's somebody's been living in it, so it's, you know.
Is that
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's been well maintained. It was open as a bed and breakfast up until a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
Oh no, it's definitely in move-in condition. There's no problems with it. It's beautiful. If you go to the, if you go online and you look it up, you can see inside of it, and you can see how well it's been maintained. So
do that because that's basically all I use my computer for, is I look at real estate.
Well, that's, you know, and another piece you might want to look into is, you know, because you're going to need to get away from everybody. You're going to need to keep some distance between yourself and people. You know, there's this island for sale in Fairhaven.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the one off Pope's Island there. It starts with a C. But it's, I think it's Cove Island or something like that. So you could buy that for yourself just to keep yourself away from everybody else. You know, then when you see the boats coming, you know that you're going to have company.
Well, see, I gotta get into Acushnet first because I have a lot of business in Acushnet that mm-hmm. I have to take care of.
So, I think there's a haunted house for sale there too. If you wanna move into a house that has some ghosts in it.
Oh, you know, I had my eye on a place, but somebody bought it, and I could almost assure that it's haunted because it was built in like 1750.
Was it? It wasn't the Samuel West house, was it? With the stockade out front.
No, this was on Keene Road. It was, the name on it was Ebenezer something or other.
Oh, I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Oh, it's on Keene Road. It's like, if you took, Keene Road runs off of, I want to say Middle Road, Peckham Road.
Okay.
And if you take it all the way north and you pass the White Cemetery, it's in the area of a cemetery too. So I think that would probably be on the haunted side.
And I may have some friends that might be interested in seeing if you're willing to back a financial scientific expedition. They're out looking for the elusive sand squatch. So they're hoping that maybe they could get you to kind of underwrite that research of what's being done. And then, you know, then when they make the discovery, they'll share the credit with you fully.
Something to think about, because that's, you know, there's, I go to a family camp on Lake Champlain,
mm-hmm.
and they have a thing similar to the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Champ the Sea Monster, yep.
So,
well, the Lake Monster.
You know, that's something to think about.
Well, I mean, sand squash research is the next, that's the next big level of paranormal research. I think people are sleeping on the sand squash, so I think you could really get involved in that and make your name in it. And like I said, there's a number of people that have been looking into it that I'm sure, you know, they wouldn't mind having, you know, being able to share the discovery with you, if that's the case.
Right. Now the thing you've got next weekend, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit of a hike. It's in Winchendon, Mass, which is about 2 hours from here, but it's nice country out there, real quiet place. It's a town that's known for as Toy Town, so that was kind of how Winchendon made its bones in the early days, was by having toy factories. And so now one of the buildings, the Isaac Morse House, is a toy museum, which is really, really cool to walk around and see some of these old antique toys.
Yeah, that would be.
And they have an ice cream parlor inside of it too, which is awesome.
Now, is this a Saturday night?
It's next Saturday night, yep.
Well, if I get my stuff before, I'm definitely going to check it out because it sounds very interesting.
Well, absolutely. And you can find all the information out on our website, SpookySouthCoast.com, and it has the address of where to go to for everything, and it's a great, great place to visit. Even if you're not, even for people who can't come and make it to the paranormal event next Saturday, definitely go up there and visit and take a tour of the Murdoch Whitney House and see all the great antiques they have in there. It's beautiful in there, all the great stuff that they have. And, it's one of those places where even if it wasn't haunted, I'd still want to go up there and spend a day.
Oh, yeah, because I'm kind of into antiques, especially antique cars. You wouldn't believe in my neighborhood. Of course, one gentleman unfortunately lost his house to a fire.
No.
This past weekend, a couple of weekends ago. And when I went walking through the neighborhood, somebody on that, it's Templeton Street, has a nice 74 Monte Carlo. And that belonged to, if I'm not mistaken, it belonged to my friend's father, because he had bought that when we moved into the neighborhood. And my neighbor across the street has a 80, I want to say maybe a mid-80s vet.
Nice.
And about six houses down from me, a guy has a 47 coupe.
Yeah, well.
And he And he drives it all over the place.
I just saw a guy on my Facebook just got an old 59 Rambler that's been sitting in his yard for years. They finally got it running.
Really?
So, yeah, good stuff. Well, yeah,
I'm thinking about starting a car club.
I think you really should, and you'll probably be able to finance the whole club yourself. So,
oh yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. We do have another one that we want to squeeze in before the end of the show. So keep us updated.
Have a good night, and we'll be talking.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
And hopefully, you know, he can make some of the Sasquatch research happen, because Sasquatch is the next big thing in the paranormal. I know. Good evening. You're next on Spooky South Coast.
It's me once again, Tim.
Hello.
I had Donald Glover here, you know, the Childish Gambino.
Oh, yeah, yep.
He was in here for the last 35 minutes trying to get your thing up and trying to call through. So he just walked off. So and he's got some good paranormal stories he's telling me about.
We could write some songs together. This is Spooky America.
Well, if you want to write, you want some lyrics, you need to talk to me. You know that song, Mr. Brightside by the Killers?
Oh, yeah, yep.
I was inspiration for that, even though I'm on the dark side.
You're Mr. Brightside?
Yes, inspiration for it, though. And it's like a lot of those words from that song were verbally written, spoken out of my mouth. So, I've nothing but love for them.
Well, so, that's pretty awesome.
Did you do the Weekend Weird?
We did, yep. We played that a little bit earlier. So, I mean, If I had known that Childish Gambino was waiting to talk to us, I probably would have saved that for later on in the show. But
well, we can't see it anyway. The reception is horrible here, and you could tell by my phone, right?
Well, that's just turn him on to the podcast, and then he can he can listen to us that way.
I did. He was trying to get it on his tablet.
Well,
and it didn't work for him either.
Well, he's welcome anytime. Just have him email me, tim@spookysouthcoast.com. We'll set it up.
Okay, I might be able to get somebody else to come do it for you too. I want you to try to get the interview before she dies. Dawn Wells,
Marianne
from Gilligan's Island, and she's one of the sweetest, most lovely, still beautiful. She's down near 90. She's gorgeous.
I got the chance to speak to her at a Comic-Con. She's very nice.
How long ago was it?
It was quite a few years ago, because I haven't been working in the Comic Cons for a couple of years as an MC, so probably at least five or 6 years ago.
So let's say you were coming to Vegas this Thursday, and which I know you're not, and that you're coming to see the Avengers Endgame, who would you dress up as in cosplay when we go there?
Oh, geez, I'm not much of a cosplay guy, but if I had to dress up as somebody, I don't know. I could probably be a fat Hulk.
Well, you know, you could do the Hulk. You know, they've got the Immortal Hulk. He's got a beard and stuff like that. He's the one that killed Captain America. It, you know the story with Logan? That story is with that Hulk right there. I think most likely I'll probably dress like Wolverine or big black Deadpool. I don't know.
I guess it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're Deadpool, nobody's going to know the difference. You're under the costume.
Or so you think.
Oh.
Which you've been black as long as I've been black. You know, like I said, most of my life. So, like I said, it's a big story.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You've only been black most of your life?
Pretty much.
This is something that happened at some point in your life? It wasn't like from birth?
Well, let me tell you the tale. Everyone gather.
We have about 1 minute left, so if you can tell us a 1 minute version of it.
Oh, I couldn't do that. That'll have to wait for next week.
All right, we'll have to save that for another show, because that's a story I definitely want to hear.
Definitely. Maybe I'll do it live. You know, and I'll get some animation and stuff for some Narjario. What do they call that? Naruto? Whatever. Something like that. But that's good, though.
All right. Well,
I wish I could have heard the whole show.
Well, you can get our podcast later. That's for sure. You can always listen to us later.
Are they going to be all video? Because I know most of it wasn't working.
No, you'll be able to watch it on YouTube, and you can get us as an audio podcast. Both ways will be up later on this week.
Well, hell's bells, Flat. All right.
All right.
I want you to have a wonderful holiday coming up next week, everyone. Don't forget Passover and Easter's next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody show your love for the big guy in the sky. And don't be mean to other people.
All right. Well, you have a good time out there at Coachella. We'll talk to you next time.
I'll take some pictures with Ariana Grande tomorrow for you.
There you go. Excellent.
All right. Play on, Playboy. Stephanie thinks I'm not coming to work.
Have a good one.
Hercules.
All right. Take care.
Play on, Playboy.
You too. I can't believe that the Spooky South Coast audience now knows the true legend of Limon. All right, well, that about does it for this week's show. As I said, we'll be off next week and the week after. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with all new great shows for you coming up in May. If you want to check out the event next weekend, SpookySouthCoast.com. If you want to join us at the conference the weekend after that, X-FilersUnited.com. If you want to come out and hang out with all the great people that will be there as well, certainly email us, Tim@SpookySouthCoast.com or SpookyCrew@SpookySouthCoast.com if you need any more of this information. So until next time, for Matt, for Stephanie, for Kylie, I'm Tim. Stay spooktacular.
News, talk.